In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ has won life for us by his Pascha. That life was won for us so that we might live that life. Not simply to celebrate it once a year. Not to think of our Orthodox Christian way of life as a series of fasts where we prepare to celebrate the Pascha as a festival, and then thankfully return to living our lives as though nothing had happened, nothing had been done. The Paschal victory is a victory for us so that we might have a life that we had not had before. Today we hear of the Samaritan woman and her meeting of Christ at the well. Last week we heard of the sheep's pool, where sacrifices were taken to prepare them before they went to the temple to be burned and offered to God. And because of the presence of Christ there at that sheep's pool, where sacrifices were taken to be washed, we knew that we were seeing a foreshadowing of baptism. And this week, we turn almost completely to focus on the Holy Spirit. Baptism and chrismation, the receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have all as Christians been baptized. We have all as Orthodox Christians been baptized and been gifted the Holy Spirit, because that's what chrismation means, is to give the gift of the Holy Spirit. But even though we have been given the gift, we have not necessarily responded and truly received that gift into our hearts. Most of us here are converts to the Orthodox faith. And as converts, we've been very concerned about ideas, about thoughts, about doctrine, about teaching. We believe that we have discovered the true faith. But being fully Christian and believing that Christ came not just to save us from death by his sacrifice, but believing, as only Orthodox do, that he came to give us a life that we are then expected to live, a life that we could not have lived had he not come to bring us into that life and give us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we could live in synergy with God. Not just in harmony with him in the sense of not breaking his commandments, but in synergy with God. That there is a way that Christians can live, that human beings can live, where every act that we perform in the world is based upon a repentance of love of ourselves and the world, a repentance from that love of ourselves and the world, and an orientation toward God, even within the moment, even within the act that we are about to perform. It is possible to act in synergy with God, from his will, not from mine, so that my will becomes at one with his will. Jesus Christ tells the woman at the well that he has a living water to give to her, that if she receives that water, she will never thirst again. But we thirst. We thirst for the world. We thirst for self-satisfaction. We thirst for approval from others. And all of that thirst proves that we are not being quenched in our thirst by a thirst for the living water that is the Holy Spirit of God, that Christ came into the world, died, destroyed the power of death in order to be able to give to us. If we still continue to thirst after a life centered on ourselves and our pride and our vanity, and our desire for the things of the world, then obviously our thirst is not being quenched. Our thirst can never be quenched by the things of the world because it is a spiritual thirst. We try to satisfy that spiritual thirst by self-love and love of the things of the world. And always we need more. Just as our bodies need to be fed morning, noon, and evening, our spirit and our thirst for God needs to be fed morning, noon, and evening. And if we are not being quenched by the Holy Spirit of God, if our life is not a life of worship in spirit and in truth, as he said to her that it would be for Christians, then we are going to thirst constantly for approval by others, for the things of the world. We will live lives of resentment instead of repentance. Because it's only by constant repentance of our preference for the world and self-satisfaction that we can receive the Holy Spirit of God. And when we do, when we truly do quench our thirst with this living water, then we can become sources of living water for others. The Spirit that pours forth from us can be the Spirit of God Himself. God came into the world in order to make that possible, in order to make it possible for each one of us to be bearers of the presence of Christ. But we can't do that if we turn our faith into a mere religion and try to use it to satisfy ourselves. Christ comes to the city of Sychar in Samaria and sits down on the well of Jacob. He begins a conversation with the woman there at the well. She thirsts with that thirst that is beyond a thirst for the things of the world. She has had 5 husbands in her thirst for the things of the world, in her thirst for satisfaction for her own life. She has not been able to unite herself with another person who has been able to be a spiritual partner for her in her life. Metropolitan Anthony of Sorrows said that he had read writers who had mentioned that the 5 husbands could be symbolic of the possibility that the woman at the well had tried by way of all of her 5 senses to satisfy her spiritual thirst, and still this thirst was in her. When she saw, well, we have to say, she didn't simply see or recognize Christ. He told her who he was. It's a very unusual situation. The Samaritans, after all, had not been given the full revelation of the covenant that the people of Israel had with God. They had only accepted the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's it, not the prophets. They didn't understand why Jerusalem was important. They hadn't been given all of that revelation that would have prepared them to recognize Christ. And so what does Jesus do? When he sees this thirst in her, he responds by telling her point blank who he is. I am he. He sees that she desires the coming of the Messiah. That is the thirst that she has in her. She has this spiritual thirst. She has a thirst for the living waters that only he can give her. And he tells her all that she needs to hear to know that the Messiah has come. And she puts down her water pot, no longer thirsty for the waters of this world, and rushes into the city to tell others. How can it be that this man is not the Christ? He has told me everything about myself. And she doesn't just mean the fact that he knows that she has had 5 husbands and is currently with someone who is not her husband. She means that he has told her everything about herself when it comes to the depths of her heart and her desire and her longing for God, that spiritual thirst, he has explained all that she needs to hear in order to see that he is the one who can satisfy that thirst. She is the first one to proclaim Christ. That's what we say. He told her who he was, unique in the Gospels, because she was ready to hear and accept. And she went and she told others. After Pentecost, the apostles, when they passed through Samaria, baptized her. She converted all of the members of her family, her five sisters, her two sons, who were all baptized. And she was given the name Photini. It means the enlightened one. The one who had known Christ while he was preaching, while he was teaching, and she knew who he was and challenged others to deny, can this be anyone other than the Christ? She stayed living in that area, in Sychar, according to our knowledge. And when Saints Peter and Paul had been martyred in Rome, and when Photini learned of their martyrdom in Rome, she herself became an evangelist. We call her equal to the apostles. She was able to pour forth from herself the waters that were those living waters that she learned of from the mouth of Christ himself that day at the well. She had become a source of that living water, as all of us are meant to be, as all of us are created to be. The presence of a source of life to others in the world, so that we can share the life that is the worship of God in spirit and in truth. In spirit, because we have the theoria, we have the vision of God as God is. He has been revealed to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we know who Christ is, and we know what he means to us. We have that theoria, that vision of God, that understanding of what it means to be a human being. And in truth, we go physically forth and live a life where the waters that are those living waters of the Holy Spirit pour forth from us in love toward others. And the more we return to that baptismal spring by way of repentance, constant repentance of any temptation to abandon Christ and betray him and instead love ourselves or the world rather than Christ, God, and others, we repent constantly from that temptation, because when we don't, the waters stop. And so we return to repentance. When it comes to the sacrament of repentance, confession, let's say we come 4 times a year. Now, I've always encouraged people to come more often, but let's say we come. Each time there is a fasting season. What if we only drank 4 times a year? We would dry up. We need to drink every day, more than once a day. We need to be, as the scientists or the doctors would say, sufficiently hydrated. Well, we need to be sufficiently hydrated with the waters of baptism, with the waters, the living waters that are the Holy Spirit. We can't just go 4 times a year to renew baptism by repentance. We have to remain sufficiently hydrated constantly in order to be Christians alive in the world, living the life that Christ won for us on Pascha and gives to us, brings us into by baptism and chrismation, that we are kept in by our repentance, not just when we come formally to the sacrament of confession. That is a renewal of our baptism. That is a refreshing of our lives lived in spirit and in truth as sources of living water. That's how it's meant to be. Photini, after she learned of the martyrdom of Saints Peter and Paul, went to Carthage, west from the Holy Land, through Egypt, west to Carthage, northwest shore of Africa. It's that part of the world that so many try today to come across the Mediterranean to get to Italy from that part of Africa. That's where Carthage is. She went there. And she was an evangelist in that city and in that area. She and members of her family. And then she went to Rome, where Nero was still emperor. And he knew about her. He knew about her family. One of her sons was well known, was a prominent person in the Roman army in Asia Minor. He had his own conflict there in Asia Minor, where his immediate superior gave him the mission of rounding up Christians to respond to Nero's determination to eliminate Christians. And he refused. And so he ended up in Rome with his mother. And they were all jailed. They were all put into prison. They were held in prison for 3 years. Prison breaks the spirit of many. It did not break the spirit of Photini of Samaria. Instead, that prison became like a church. She converted the other prisoners. They celebrated the divine liturgy there. She converted the sister of the emperor Nero. And Nero began to torture these Christians, especially Photini and her family. And finally, after he had tortured her in an especially severe way, he called her to him and he asked her, "Will you not now renounce this Christ and fall down before these idols?" And she laughed at him and told him, "You evil and foolish man, do you think I would renounce my Lord Christ and worship idols as blind as you?" And she spit in his face. She was bold then before the pagan emperor of the world, who had put the apostles, Saints Peter and Paul, to death, as she had been at the well on the day when she met Christ. And he took her, and he had her thrown into a well. Of all places, that's where she died. About 40 years after she had met Christ himself, at the well in Samaria. Wherever she went, the living waters of the Holy Spirit flowed forth from her. It was the same with the apostles. It's meant to be the same with us. Instead, we come to believe the truth of the Christian faith in its fullness as we find it in Orthodoxy. And even though we believe that a new life is possible, we turn to the world and our thirst becomes a thirst for self-love, for appreciation by others. We're offended when they don't appreciate us, and we desire the things of the world. And we even become sometimes a little bored. Even though we know the truth, even though we know where the source of life is, even though we know that if we turn away from our self-love and our love of the world, it is possible to worship God in spirit and in truth every day of our lives. And there is constantly the temptation to turn away from it. But this is the only way that we can have of loving God and loving others and living a life that is full and filled with joy, no matter what terrible things happen to us. Look at all the terrible things that happened to Photini and the members of her family. And yet she lived in constant joy and poured forth living waters of life from herself. This is our calling. We are meant to live the life that Christ won by his Pascha. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.